Good morning, everybody. It's great to be stirred by the organ first thing on a Sunday morning. Praise with us the God of grace. Let's pray before we do anything else. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. Lord, help us to do just that today. Help us to praise you. We speak to our souls. Praise the Lord. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Give us your spirit of worship, we pray today. Amen. Amen. Well, it's great to see you all. Some people I've not seen before, which is great to see and treat, and others that have been wanting to be here. But couldn't get here. Some people who don't want to be here, but reluctantly are here. I'm only thinking of one person in this. I'm thinking of Valerie, who would much rather be recovering from a hip operation now, but is here. So our gain, your loss, but our gain, Valerie. So we're pleased to see you. But however we've come, and be loved. Come and be loved. Now, a little bird called Jamie, tells me it's Lillian's birthday today. Is that correct, Lillian? Oh, he has got it right, has he? It's 102, is that? You're looking so good on it. You really are. Jamie, did you tell me the right thing? Yes, I know. 80. No more guesses. I know the number. I'm just conscious that we've not had birthdays for a while. So has anybody else got a birthday today or yesterday?
Thursday,
Ian. I'm not going to ask how old you are either. But you're not... You're 102. It's got a naught on the end. A naught on the end of eight. Okay, right. Anybody else that we've missed? That yes. Connie, when's Connie's birthday?
On Tuesday.
Tuesday. Right. How do you get that? So Connie, Lillian, and Ian. Or Connie, Ian, Lillian. I don't know how you're going to say it. But just go for it. Let's sing Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Excellent. It is very good to celebrate. Just to let you know, we have on when we have a communion service, we have an extra offering opportunity. If you want to, there's a box outside on the table. As we think of what Jesus has given for us, there's that opportunity to give an offering at our communion services. And each month, there's a different organisation or situation we give that money to. This month, it's to the Southwest Baptist Association Pastoral Fund. And rather like we have a blessing fund in the church, which is held and given quietly to those in need. Similarly, with the Southwest Baptist Association, they hold those funds to give to people, families who are in particular need that they become aware of. So that's what that's for. So if you'd like to join in with that, the box is on the table outside. A number of us have been expressing the same thought that Easter seems a long time ago. It's only last week that we had this wonderful garden with the stone rolled away and children going inside and finding there was nothing there apart from a cloth. But that seems a long time ago. But the truth is, we are an Easter people. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday in the sense that we are celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus. And in fact, you'll hear these words later on, that as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. celebrated the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus and looked for him to come again. So, however you are today, the same joy at the death and resurrection of Jesus that we celebrated last Sunday is still true today. And so we have these words from Paul to the church in Colossae. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is a mystery, that we have died, our sinful nature has died, and yet we are made spiritually alive and raised with Christ. We've got our feet on the floor, and yet spiritually we are in Christ. We have died, and our life is now hidden with Christ in God. It's a mystery. And the whole of this meal we're celebrating today is a mystery. And we can't really get our heads around it. Our heads are meant to be blown by it. Our minds cannot contain the infinite wonders and mysteries of God. But we can celebrate them. And so we're going to have a time of worship now. And as usual in our time of worship, there are spaces for you to speak words, to also for quiet, to be aware of the Lord. We start with, come, people of the risen King. Rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. Now is the time for us to march upon the land.
It is so important for us to declare, Jesus, that you are alive. The world around us won't believe that you are alive. The world will believe that somewhere, your bones are there or they've decayed and gone into the earth. But your anointed one was not left to decay. Jesus, you are alive. You are risen and ascended. And we can trust in you. Talk to you, worship you. Jesus, Jesus, holy and anointed one. Jesus, Jesus, risen and exalted one. This is who we are worshiping this morning.
Jesus, Jesus. Spirit, my water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Joy that yes, when we go to be with you, that will be amazing. But Lord, you are right here with us now, and that's even more amazing.
Thank you.
And Father, we just thank you that you are within us. And Father, without you, we can do nothing. We cannot praise you without you. We cannot worship you without your Spirit moving among us. And Lord, we just say thank you, Father God, for your salvation. Thank you, Father God, that you want to bless us and encourage us. Lord, open our mouths to praise and to worship you in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And Lord, I thank you that you don't look down and say, well, look what you thought about Sheila. You don't do that, Lord, because you love us. Because, Father God, when you look down, you see Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. And, Lord, we thank you and praise you that you are the one that we come to.
Thank you, Lord.
And your word is so precious. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive.
Thank you, Lord.
So no matter what's happened this morning, Lord, all we need to do again is just come before the cross and worship you and give you praise and ask you for that forgiveness in a very simple way.
Thank you, Lord.
But Lord, we want to worship you, Father, this morning. And we thank you and praise you for the freedom that we have.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
We have freedom to do it. And Father, again, thank you for the open door that people can come in and come into your presence.
Thank you, Lord.
Almighty God, we thank you.
Amen. Amen. Yes, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is a mystery, but it is a true mystery. Amen. Please be seated. We have the opportunity to express our love for the Lord in our giving. Thank you to those who've given through the bank. Thank you for those who brought something today. Don't worry if you've not come prepared to give. That's no problem. We're just pleased to see you here. But if our stewards could take up the offering now, that'd be great. Lord, you gave everything to us, everything for us, and we give our hearts to you, our souls, our bodies, and our minds, and we give you some of our possessions. You've given us so much, and we give you some of those back, that you may multiply them, and you may spread them abroad, that so many others may come to know your love. Bless them, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This is a good day for all sorts of reasons, and the next reason that it's a good day is that we're going to be receiving Rod and Gillian into membership. All being well, Mark and Louise, who are away today, will be receiving into membership next week. So it's a good time, isn't it, to receive people who've been led by the Lord here. As I say, every time we do this, Rod and Gilly, who are being received into membership of this church, don't have to fit in with us. They don't have to fit in with us. We and they are now a new church because they're in it. And so together we go to that new place that God is leading us. And so it's a great opportunity to be reminded what being a member of God's church is all about. That family, that commitment to one another, to walk together, watching over one another. That's been the Baptist principle for 400 years, and it's been the church's principle for 2,000 years. That's how we do it. We walk together, watching over one another. So, guys, if you'd like to come up the front, stay on the sort of first step, if you like. I'll give you this. You can huddle up close. So you'll have to put that somewhere between you, and I'm sure it'll be her. But this is particularly for the recording. It's important that, so we'll lift it up a little bit higher. That'll be great. Excellent. So, in the name of our loving God, it is our joy to receive Rod and Gilly into the membership of this church. They are fully committed to serving God in our church family and in the community of Paignton and beyond. Today, we acknowledge and thank God for that commitment. Now, we have some questions for Rod and Gilly, and yours are coming, as you know. If you've been here before and seen this, you've got some in a moment. But this is questions for these guys. And so we'll have it. The reason we're using the mic is because the people at home can hear what you're saying. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your creator and redeemer, and the sustainer of all things?
Yes.
We do. This is the God in whom we trust.
Do you believe that God has led you to share in the worship, life, and witness of this local congregation?
We do, and we thank God for the gifts of fellowship.
Will you share with us the gifts God has given you, that together we may serve God in our local community and in the wider world?
We will. All we have is given by God.
As members of a Baptist church, we covenant together as a community of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Baptized into his name, we share the joys and responsibilities of fellowship. We gather for worship and to discern the mind of Christ. Together we seek the kingdom of God through prayer, witness, and service. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to build one another up in love. Will you share with us in this common life and service? And will you walk together with us before God in ways that are known and yet to be made known?
We will. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I'm going to take those back from you, and I'll take that one from you for the moment. Now our turn. Do you welcome Rod and Jilly into the fellowship of this worshiping community?
We do. This is our joy and our glory.
God has given us the gifts of this brother and sister, and through them has given us gifts for ministry in the life and witness of this congregation. Will you support Jilly and Rod in their Christian service and in the responsibilities of church membership? Will you pray for Rod and Jilly and encourage them through hospitality, friendship, and support?
We will, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you. So, I'm very happy to welcome you into this mad family that's called Paignton Baptist Church. And if you'd like to say anything, now is your opportunity.
I would just like to say, as you all know, thank you for such wonderful hospitality that you've shown us every week that we turn up. And I've got to know quite a lot of you people now. There's a few faces I don't know names to, but I'm getting there. And I just have to express to all my family that I do see how wonderful you all are, and try to encourage bits of the word towards them, and I think I might be breaking through slightly. So, you know, it's working with me, and hopefully through me I can encourage others and maybe bring them through the door one Sunday morning. But your hospitality excels beyond measure, and it's because you are Christ-driven, and he is in your hearts, and it's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Jilly. Round of applause, please. I just forgot to do one thing, which is fairly important. It wasn't on my list. Sorry. Just need to pray. You apologise. Get. Who else? Oh, yes. So reach out a hand. Perhaps a couple of people would just like to join me. Just in praying, putting a hand on and praying for these guys. Father, Jilly has said it all. You welcome us with open arms. And that's what we want to do for Rod and Jilly. And it's what they're already doing for us. We thank you, Lord, for this precious, precious gift of fellowship and of a local church where we can be at home through good times and bad. And we pray and bless Rod and Jilly. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Today is all about blessings. And Angela, is going with our children today, and who is going with you?
Dawn.
So Dawn and Angela, and we've got Connie and guys over here. Let's pray a blessing on them. Lord, we thank you that your heart is always to bless, always to bless. And so we pray a blessing on the children that are here with us, on Angela and Dawn, that together they may discover more of your love and how to respond to that love. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Could I ask those who are doing the readings to come up now, and David as well, if you'd like to come. If you'd like to stand together so we can pray for you all. Father, we thank you that your word has power. Your word has power to create faith, to change lives, to inspire, to encourage, to strengthen and comfort. And we pray as Jillian and Diane read your word and David expands your word, that we may hear, understand, receive and obey it. Amen.
Amen.
This morning's reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and can be found on page 1150. Paul writes as an apostle. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? I have not seen Jesus our Lord. Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do our apostles and the Lord's brothers in Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right to not work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink the milk? Do I say this merely on human authority? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading on the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us, because whoever ploughs and threshes should be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who serve in the temple get their food from the temple, and that those who serve at the altar the same way? The Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. But I have not used any of these rights, and I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me, for I would rather die than allow anyone to deprive me of this boast. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. When this is my reward, what then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel.
Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, although I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Thank you for those who've just brought God's word to us. Today we return to our series, God's Wisdom in an Age of Foolishness, going through Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. And this morning we are visiting chapter 9. And this chapter has conveniently three main points to examine. Now, I intend to use three headings, which I hope are going to appear on the screen. Here we are. First one, don't stand on your rights. The second one, keep reaching out. And finally, keep running. Don't stand on your rights. After I took early retirement, I worked as a volunteer for a while in what had been a Citizens Advice Bureau, but was now independent. And some of the regular subjects we had to deal with were boundary disputes. And believe me, that is a minefield. Next door's hedge is much too high. My neighbour has done this, or that, or the other thing. And that's upset me, and it's not right. And he's got no right to do it, and so on. One day, a client complained to me that his neighbour had erected a new fence between their properties, and it was encroaching 3 inches onto his land. I asked whether the fence itself was okay, and he said, oh yes. It's a very good fence. And who has paid for it? I said. Oh, my neighbour has met all the cost. So, I said, tentatively, he has done you a favour then, erecting a nice new fence at his own cost. Yes, but it's 3 inches on my land. I have come across people in churches who are very pedantic, insisting that their view is the only valid one, and standing on their rights, even if it upsets other people. On occasions,
Not always. Some of these individuals subsequently prove to have been far from perfect themselves. Paul, however, as we've just been hearing, took the opposite view, not insisting on his rights. There were those at Corinth who were constantly questioning the authority of Paul, especially his claim to be an apostle. They reckoned that they had far better credentials than he had, and they claimed to be apostles on far stronger grounds than his. Their idea of an apostle was a man with authority who let everybody know that he was in authority. They lauded it over everyone else. And anyone who didn't act the same way could not possibly, in their view, be intended to carry responsibility in the church. They saw Christian leadership in terms of being masters, not servants. And they slated Paul because he was not like that. They thought he was too weak, too soft, and too willing to deny himself his freedom in Christ for the sake of others. Let me just remind you of the first six verses that we read. Am I not free, he says? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us? As do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living? Paul actually founded the church at Corinth. It was during his second missionary journey. You can look into Acts chapter 18 and find out about it. And he stayed with that church for quite a long time, living with Aquila and Priscilla, before eventually moving on to Ephesus. Paul didn't have a wife, but he would have been within his rights to get married and take his wife with him from place to place, and it would be normal for churches to meet their needs. And above all else, Paul had met the Lord. And although he wasn't one of Jesus' original 12 disciples, it was Jesus himself who had commissioned Paul. In Acts 9, verse 15, we read that shortly after Paul's dramatic conversion on the Damascus Road, God says, "This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name to the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel." And Paul goes on stridently to correct his Corinthian critics in verses 7 to 14, which followed. He reminds them that soldiers, vineyard owners, shepherds, farmers, they are all paid, or else they have the right to share in the harvest or enjoy the milk or the meat that they produce. And in verse 9, Paul says, "For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain." And he says, is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us. Because when the ploughman ploughs and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. And so if we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much that we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But Paul goes on to say that he and Barnabas do not use this right. On the contrary, he says that they put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Now, we know from other writings about Paul that he was skilled as a tent maker. And at times he earned money from this to support his ministry. In fact, he was doing just that when he was living with Priscilla and Aquila in Corinth. And as I understand it, those tents were made of hide or leather or sometimes goat hair with wooden supports and wooden stakes. And I imagine it was very hard work. So while Paul states in verse 14, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel, he doesn't use this right or any other right. He goes on to affirm that he feels compelled to preach the gospel, and he says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Now, in a church like ours, we value the preaching of the gospel week by week, don't we? And it is our privilege to support our pastor Stephen and Leslie as well, financially and in a variety of other ways. We would not wish it any other way. Years ago, when I used to do a lot more lay preaching around local churches, I would tend to be given some expenses, perhaps a little gift. It was always sneaked to you in an envelope. And I was embarrassed about it at first. But then a wise minister said to me one day, "You should accept what is offered to you, because somebody else who follows on after you to preach the gospel there might actually need that support." Now we come to the second heading, keep reaching out. And we're looking here at verses 19 to 23. But before we do that, as Stephen has reminded us a number of times recently, we need to realise that although the Bible is conveniently set out in chapters for us, it wasn't originally that way. And sometimes there is an overlap between chapters because the writer was working on one continuous train of thought at the time. And it's true about Paul here. So I want to go back to chapter 8, where Paul has been addressing the contentious issue of whether they should eat meat which had been offered to idols. And to pray see what he says it really does not matter. Food like this, if one eats it, does not bring a person nearer to God. To eat it or not to eat it makes no difference. But, and it's a big but, some of the church members in Corinth came from pagan and idol worshipping backgrounds, and so it mattered very much to them. And so Paul says that if some of you insist on your right to eat it, and in so doing destroy the faith of a weaker person, you sin against Christ. And so when we come to verses 19 onwards in chapter 9, this principle still applies. It is the winning of souls that is important. Reaching out to people with the good news of the gospel in an appropriate way and an accessible way for them. So, verse 19 onwards, let me remind you, says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, so as to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I've been reading an exposition of chapter 9, written by the Reverend David Pryor. It was part of the Bible Speaks Today series. It's very helpful. And he writes this about these verses. In saying these things, Paul ran the risk, and actually succeeded, in offending Christians at Corinth. Such people would have been concerned less with winning believers to Christ as Lord than in keeping spotless the purity of their fellowship. And the cliques that had formed at Corinth needed to stop worrying about this right and that right and this reward or that reward and take with full seriousness their own responsibility for obeying the commission of the risen Lord to preach the gospel and make disciples. I wonder what you and I would have made of Paul's words if we'd have been in the Corinthian church. And what should we learn from those words today? Well, as we seek to reach out to people today, we need to listen carefully to those people and try and discover where are they coming from, what they believe, and why do they believe it. Only then can we effectively share the gospel in a way which is appropriate to them and which is accessible for them. But at the same time, we need to share Paul's urgency about the task. Finally, we need to keep running. The last few verses, 24 to 27, are about running.
Illustration is here.
He can run better than me. Now, Corinth was the centre of the Isthmian Games, which took place every 2 years. So everyone who lived there would be very familiar with the example that Paul gives. All the athletes had to train. It involved exercising self-control in all things during that training. All the runners joined in the race. All wanted to win the prize, but there was only one winner, and he won a crown made of pine wood. And using that as an example, Paul says, therefore, we should all run this Christian race with total dedication, secure in the knowledge that there is an everlasting crown of righteousness waiting for each one of us if we are faithful to the end. Now, I can't run for a bus anymore. I don't know how many of you can. But I want to be running the Christian race until my very last day. And I want to close with a true story, which I know I have shared with one or two of you before. It's about the time when Josie and I lived in Sheffield. And in the centre of Sheffield, there's a very large Baptist church called Cemetery Road Baptist Church. And while we lived there, one day there was a 90-year-old preacher, and he was leading some kind of quite a large gathering of people in a special service in the afternoon, and I don't know what it was all about. I can't remember. And he preached the most marvellous sermon, and so much so that people applauded at the end of it. And then he sat down and died. What better way can you imagine of going off to heaven? I close with the words that not many of you will have heard him sing, but somebody called Harry Lauder, the music hall singer, sang that famous song, "Keep Right On
to the End of the Road."
Of the road. Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, David. Running to win. And looking around this congregation this morning, looking at David, there are so many who are running to win. Unlike the illustration that David commented on, there is more than one winner in the kingdom. We're not running to beat each other. We're running together. I picture a huge chain of us all connected together, all running together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have saved us, given us this wonderful new eternal life, set us in heaven in this mystery in Christ. But you have work for us to do as your hands and feet and your voice here on earth. And Lord, we pray that each of us will serve as we're called to serve and empowered to serve. Thank you that we do it together with you and together with each other. Pray you keep speaking to us and help us pass what you say on to others. Amen. Just an encouragement, if you're able to come tonight, we have a service once a month in the evening, starting at 6:30. There's normally a cup of tea before. We start at 6:30. Tonight we're going to be considering our scripture for the year, Colossians 3:16. So do come along. We're thinking about how the word of Christ dwells in us richly. We've already had a feast here, so we get two this particular Sunday. Also, if there's something particular that God has been speaking to you about that you want someone to pray with you, at the end of our services, we always have people around to be able to pray with you. If that's helpful, wearing a yellow lanyard or myself, do come to the front afterwards at the end of the service if you'd like someone to pray with you. To lead us into communion, we're going to sing a song which is perhaps new to many. It's a very simple song, but it's new to many of us. And so if we stay seated while Andrew plays the verse and then a chorus, when we come to sing it, there'll be two verses before the chorus. But Andrew's going to play the verse and the chorus. The words will come up as Andrew's playing, not for us to sing, but just for us to see how they fit and also to look at them. And then once Andrew's played through, we can either sit or stand to sing. Behold, our King is alive. He's crowned with glory and power, clothed with light. All heaven sings out his name with an anthem of praise. Jesus, the glory of God. And now we come to this communion meal. We see the glory of Jesus in this meal. We invite all those who know Jesus and want to say thank you to him for what he's done, to take part in this meal. For children, if they're coming down in a moment, there would be mums, dads, those who brought them. The children know what it is for Jesus to die and rise again. and want to say thank you, then they're free to take part in this meal. Would those who are serving please come and take the seats? Jesus said these mysterious words, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink." Give you this invitation to come to this table, not because you must, but because you may, not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and you would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and he gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. David mentioned earlier that whenever we turn to the Lord, he will forgive us. We have that assurance. And so we pray, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we also heard from our reading, whilst the Apostle Paul was not there on the night that Jesus started this meal, Jesus met with Paul. And he told him what this meal was all about. And Paul told us with these words that come from his letter, his first letter to the church in Corinth. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this, break this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also, after supper, saying this, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" David's going to lead us in a prayer of thanks.
Let's pray. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the incredible price you paid for our forgiveness. Thank you that your body feeds us with all we need to live our lives, and that your blood cleanses us from all our sin. Thank you too, dear Lord, for your powerful victory over sin, Satan, and death. Please help us all to know the power of your resurrection in our bodies, spirits, and souls every day. We worship you as our Lord and Saviour. Surely you are worthy to receive all glory and honour. Amen.
Amen. All our wine here is non-alcoholic wine, and I have some gluten-free bread here which I've broken, which I'll bring to those who show me that they need that, and there's a number here, and we want to make specific provision for you in that way. Because this table, as we said, is open to everyone. So, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Hold on to your cups and we'll drink those together as a sign of our unity. Thank you.
thank you for your body that has been broken for us, that gives us eternal life. And we thank you for the blood of the covenant that means we are forgiven and free. And we drink together to celebrate and to rejoice. In the words we said earlier, we said, come meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. If I could just encourage you gently, because I know some of us are not quite so easy to move around as others, but just have a look around and see who you've been eating and drinking with this morning. This is a small part of the body of Christ. The reason I'm asking you to do that is, one, because it's nice to remind ourselves that we are a body, a family, but also I'd like us to pray for one another. It's often common practice when we come to the communion table in our intercessions, our prayer time, before our final hymn, we often pray for one another. And there are some here who, as you've looked at them, you know the needs they have. There are others you don't. But just in a time now, whether out loud or quietly, let's pray for one another. Don't worry if your name doesn't get mentioned. It doesn't mean that we don't care. It's just that the person who's praying for you isn't saying it out loud. But let's pray for those who are near us, those whose eyes we've caught as we looked across the congregation. Let's pray for one another. As David Burroughs here often reminds us, we carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So let's pray. We pray your blessing on Diane Hutton, had to go to hospital recently. Lord, we pray your blessing upon her. Lord, we pray your blessing on all those who have physical needs, that they might receive your comfort and strength. We pray for those who are anxious or worried, or maybe just are feeling very down. Lord, we pray that your resurrection life would pour into each one. And Lord, we pray that as we pray for one another, talk with one another, walk with one another in the days ahead, help us to recognize the body of the Lord in this place and wherever we go. Amen. Our final hymn is entitled "We Rest on Thee," and that's what we need to do, isn't it? Whatever's going on, We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. Eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him
through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.